Welcome to another episode of the Sunday Service Podcast. Today's episode is special, like all the other episodes that we have, but today we have Patrice with us, who is an expert in the holistic lifestyle practices as well as skincare. So she's going to introduce herself a little bit, but I'm very excited to have her on our podcast today. I came across her Instagram page and I loved her story about how she embarked a holistic lifestyle and why led her to do what she does now. So Patrice, please introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about you.
Hi, okay, so I'm Patrice. I'm an herbalist, holistic wellness expert, and I'm the owner of Roots Holistic Apothecary. I mainly focus on herbs, but I also carry natural body care as well as aromatherapy.
Thank you so much. I heard all those good stuff, herbs, holistic, so everybody just make sure to stay tuned because she's going to give us all the game on those topics. So can we talk a little bit about what led to your journey in holistic wellness, herbalism, and what pursued your path currently?
Yes. Okay. So we're going to throw it all the way back to eighth grade. I'm 26 right now. So when I was 14, I was diagnosed with anxiety. And it's still so crazy to think about, like, being diagnosed with anxiety. But I was diagnosed with anxiety. I was put on Prozac. I was put in therapy. And I was super embarrassed about it because, one, mental health was not as popular or talked about back then as it is now. So it was, like, really embarrassing for me. And I didn't like taking the medication. I felt like it didn't do much for me. So fast forward to when I was 18, I was getting ready to go to college. I had no plan on how to manage my anxiety, but I was like, I'm done with this medication. So I go to college. My junior year in college was when life kind of just hit rock bottom for me. And I was like, all right, I want to take back control of my life, but I want to do it the natural way. So junior year, I changed my major from biology to health science, and I started learning more about the gut-brain connection. And I was like, okay, maybe if I change my eating, this will help my anxiety. And one thing about me, I'm going to use myself as a test subject every single time. So I cut out red meat. I went pescatarian, vegetarian, then vegan. And I noticed a change in my skin. I noticed a change in just my overall outlook on life. Like, I wasn't as anxious. I wasn't as stressed. And I'm like, okay, this stuff actually works. And originally, I learned about essential oils before I started learning about herbs. So I got rid of, like, all my body care products, all my hair care, all my cleaning supplies. I'm like, I'm going to make everything myself because I was learning about how a lot of things are endocrine disruptors. And I'm like, okay, this can also bring to my anxiety. So I was like, all right, like, life is great. Life is good. I started doing yoga. I started journaling. I got back into therapy, but this time I was with a Black therapist and my experience was different than it was the first time. And I was also older and ready to, like, talk through a lot of things. So that's how I originally started on this holistic wellness path. And then let's see, fast forward to 2019, I graduated college. I was working a job as a mental health educator. I was in charge of the West Tennessee region, so I would go to schools, talk about bullying, suicide, anxiety, depression, all of it. And then the pandemic happened, so we're at home. I'm spending a lot more time on social media, and I'm like, so many people struggle with anxiety and depression. So let me just share my story and talk about the product that helped me and turn my lifestyle into a business. So that's kind of how it all started. But it originally started with my aromatherapy body butters. I released 5 of them. One was for stress and anxiety, one was for sleep, one was for energy, one was for low libido, because essential oils is where I got my start. But yes, that's a little bit of the backstory of my life and how Roots got started.
I love it. Thank you so much, Patrice. You gave us so many gems in your story. I love that you spoke about, you know, the concept of, you know, like, when you're going through a form of a mental health issue, right? We look at it as something that we're lacking in. And at times in our community, when therapy is not really emphasized, we look at it as an indicator that something's wrong with us, right? If we approach that form of healing. And I love that you use therapy or you use holistic health lifestyle as a way to, like, heal yourself and, you know, be able to manage your anxiety. And you're right, a lot of us do suffer from anxiety, and at times we don't really pay attention to that, and it becomes a bigger issue later on, right? Like, for me, I suffer from a hormonal imbalance, when I'm not drinking my tea or not balancing things, that, as you said, is an effect that just continues to affect all parts of your life. And I love that you used your story or your struggles with managing anxiety and like finding a holistic way to cure it. And then you applied that to all parts of your life. And I love that you got rid of all the products in your house and that you did a cleansing, a form of cleansing in all parts of your life. And I guess my question would be now, do you feel as though in our community, right? In our, the African-American community, mental health or forms of other anxieties that we experience that is not really emphasized as being important and that we just continue to live with that form of suffering?
Oh, yeah, I definitely think we just live with it. And the reason I say that is because I look at my family, right? And a lot of my family members have high functioning anxiety, but they don't even realize it because it's something that they've seen, like their parents dealt with it, or their aunties or uncles or somebody in their family dealt with it. It's seen as normal. So then they live their life like this, and then it just keeps getting passed down, and it's not really talked about because, oh, that's how my parents are. That's how I am. That's how my kids are going to be. And we think that it's normal, but it's not. Like, we can live a life of like flow and ease, and we don't have to always be so strong about everything. And it's not embarrassing to talk about if you have these overwhelming thoughts, because if you get it out, it's going to manifest itself another way. I don't really think it's talked about. It's talked about a lot more now than it was before, but I still think we could do a better job as a community just highlighting.
Yes, yes, yes. I do agree with you on that. And I know there's a change coming, especially within our community, being more, you know, prominent about getting help and being more active about approaching life through a holistic approach. And I thank you for just like encouraging others through your story to just, you know, take the leap and look into how to cure your health issues, whether it is through holistic lifestyle or other approaches that really fits each individual. So I know you said that your story and then how it led you to the holistic lifestyle also led you to create your own company developing skincare products. So can you speak a little bit about that and how you went about formulating it? What was that journey for you? How was that journey for you?
Yeah, so when I went to college originally, I was a biology and chemistry major. So I had a lot of labs that I was doing. I was already, I guess, in the science of it all. That was something that was always me formulating, doing things like that. And then when I switched over to health science, I learned more about anatomy and project management. Just a lot of what I learned in school helped me in my business endeavors. And then I also went back for another program that was holistic medicine and healing nutrition. So a lot of what I learned there, I put into my formulations. So I started with my body butters list. Oh my gosh. Figuring out the right formulas almost took me out. I wanted to give up because I was trying this and it wasn't working. I couldn't get the smell to come through, or it would get too hard. It was too oily. Like, it was a lot that I put into it. But like I said, I tested everything on myself first. And then I started giving it to my family and my friends for them to test it out and tell me how it worked for them or how it didn't work for them or some changes that they wanted to see. So that's how I originally started doing that. And then as far as herbalism, like I said, I went back for the program Holistic Medicine and Healing Nutrition. I also watched so many YouTube videos. I bought so many books. And I just practiced. Like, I practiced. And another thing, like, something that my anxiety used to tell me all the time is that I had to be perfect. And so I've struggled with perfectionism. And a lot of the times with my formulations, when I felt like I wasn't getting it right, I wanted to give up because I'm like, ugh, like I'm trying and it's not working. But I just kept like pushing through it. So yeah, I don't know if that really answered your question or not, but my schooling helped me with my formulations, going back, helping with my formulations, and then just always studying and knowing that this is a journey and I'll never know all there is to know, but as long as I keep going, like, it's going to get.
Thank you so much. I loved everything that you said. It's all about solitude and it's all about just, you know, being of service to your customers. So what, can you speak a little bit about your products, what each product they do for the skin and what pushes you to continue to formulate these products?
Yes. So my herbal tea collection, I have one blend that's called the Glowing Skin Tea. And that one is a blend of hibiscus, rose tips, red clover. And that is going to help you get glowing skin from the inside out. So a lot of the time we get hormonal acne, and that's because our hormones are not balanced. And with the red clover, that's going to help go in there, because I can give you all the science behind it, but basically I'm going to try and keep it like in a nutshell. It's going to help balance out your hormones. It's going to help clear up hormonal acne that you're having, and then really giving you that glow where you radiate from the inside out. It's also going to help with fine lines and wrinkles. And not only can you drink the tea, but you can also use it as an herbal face steam too, as well.
That's perfect. Can you use it in a bath?
And then
I was saying, you said that you could use it to consume it, but you could also use it as a steam for your face. I was asking, can you also use the tea to take a bath? If you know, sometimes our whole body needs care as well.
Oh, yeah. You can use it as a bath tea as well. The only thing that I always tell my customers when it comes to that is just making sure that they're putting it in some sort of mesh bag. Mm-hmm. So when it comes time to drain the bath, the herbs are not going down the drain, because that is very expensive to get it fixed. So just making sure you're putting it in some sort of bath.
So would you, for individuals that are suffering from dry skin, which of your products would you recommend?
As far as dry skin, I wouldn't say I necessarily have a product targeted directly to dry skin. Because I did go through a phase where I was producing mostly skincare products, but now it's more so herbal teas, body care, and then candles. But I would suggest them booking a custom consultation so I can create a blend specifically for them.
Yes. That makes a lot of sense. I love that most of your products are focused on herbalism, right? Can you speak a little bit about how, you know, candle is also good for the spirit, but also good for the mental as well?
Yes. Yeah, so that was something that I learned early on in my wellness journey when I first got into essential oils, because I was doing diffusers at first, but I really loved candles and I loved me some Bath and Body Works. But when I learned about what was in those candles, I was like, oh no, I need to make my own. So the candles that I make, the wax that I use is apricot cocoa cream. So it's a clean wax, and it's also a slow burning wax. And then I use essential oils in the candles, but I have ones for specific moods. So I have one for stress relief, I have one for tranquility, and then I also have one that's for rejuvenate. So that's more of a citrus scent when you're needing some energy, maybe you just finished cleaning, or it's a nice spring day, and you want to feel uplifted. That's the candle for that. So each candle scent that I have, not only does it smell good, it has a therapeutic benefit to it as well.
Yes, because I love candles, and I feel like each scent, right, and each candle just brings in a different type of calmness, a different type of, like, uplifting spirit. So I do agree with you on that, the power of candles, right? So most of us think that candles are just, okay, smells good. But no, it's like your whole mood changes, right? It's more of a spiritual thing. And it's very interesting that you make skincare products on top of candles, and you also have herbal tea that is beneficial for the body and the skin as well. So my next question would be, as an herbalist, how do you source your ingredients and ensure that it still preserves its quality while still going through the delivery process?
Yes. So, of course, the ultimate goal, have my own farm, grow my own herbs, dry them myself, process them. But I am one person. I cannot do all of those things right now. So I do work with other farmers, but this, again, was another process. So I do a lot of research. And like I said, I always use myself as a test subject. So I would either find these farmers through Etsy. Etsy is a great place to find herbal farmers. And then as well as Google. Like, I've worked with the big herb brands, but I'll order the same herb from multiple different farmers, and then I'll test them on myself. I'll look at the quality. I'll smell them. I'll see how they make them feel. Like, it is a process. And once I've narrowed it down, okay, this is who I'll be ordering wholesale from, I always check the quality, see if there's any bugs in there. Make sure it's cut and sifted properly, make sure it's dried properly, the color is right, the smell is right, And once that has been consistent for a few orders, and I'm like, all right, it's time to place the big order. And then I'll start formulating and packaging myself. And then with my packaging, I have a batch number, a lot number, an expiration date on there. I have a safety seal on there to make sure that it maintains its maximum freshness. And then I also have brewing instructions on there and how to properly store your tea so you're not letting it, letting the therapeutic benefits go away. Because if you leave it out in the sun, leave the top open, you don't want to attract bugs, you know, all those things. Yes. So, yeah.
Yes, yes. Definitely, you know, the whole logistic parts and finding suppliers, especially in the skincare business, it is very important and time consuming. And it's very smart that you buy that same product from different suppliers to know which one has the high quality ingredient that you're looking for. So what would you say is one positive thing that you love about being a skincare producer and one thing that you find challenging still currently?
One thing that I love is I can make whatever. Like, I can make whatever I need to make. One thing that I find challenging, I don't know. I feel like as a business owner, and I'm sure you might feel like this too, you feel like you can always do better. It's like you're never satisfied with what you have put out there, so you're always trying to fix it, whether it's the packaging, whether it's the description, whether it's the ingredients that you're using. Like, I feel like I'm never satisfied and I'm always trying to make it better, and that can sometimes make me feel like it's not enough. So that's something that I'm still working through.
Yes, yes, yes. As entrepreneurs, like as you said, we love and we are passionate about our craft, right? And we always want to be of service to our customers and make sure they get the best service at the end of the day. So there's that perfectionism just that's so urgent for us all the time and just pushing us as a battery to keep us going. And it's powerful, as you said, that to just, you know, to continue to be of service is really what pushes you. So what would you say are some common misconceptions that people have about herbalism? And how do you go about addressing them? Yes.
That it doesn't work. That's the most common misconception, is it doesn't work. And I can't even say that I directly address it. And the reason I say that is because when I was a mental health educator, I felt like I spent a lot of time trying to convince the kids that mental health is important, or anxiety is real, depression is real. Just because you can't see it doesn't mean that these feelings aren't real. And that takes a lot of energy, and it can be very, very, very draining. So I think I focus more on those who are open-minded, those who want to learn, those who are interested. I give them my energy and my time and attention. Like, I'm never rude to anybody, but if they're like, oh, that doesn't work, oh, that's a bunch of crap, I just let it be what it is, because I'm showing you from my life what holistic living has done for me. Other people who have been on this holistic living journey, they are also showing you what this has done for them. And if that's not enough for you, that's okay. But I'm here for the people who are wanting to go on this journey and who are wanting to learn more.
Yes, yes. I love that. That's a powerful way to move about it. Because you're right. I've heard people, I've encountered myself, oh, herbal medicine works. Oh, herbalism, I don't know about that. You know, and just depending more on the traditional, you know, medicine currently, just taking pills that's prescribed to manage either a symptom or an illness. And it's just over time, what it does to our body is, you won't even understand it until you are at a point where you can't even manage your health anymore. And then your body's indicating, okay, something is wrong. So I love that you're using the approach of, okay, I have this knowledge. If you're willing to accept that, I'm here to help guide you. And if you're not, it's okay. I walk with peace and love at the end of the day.
Yes.
So what herbs would you say? I'm sorry, Patrice. I'm listening now.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I think it might be a little lagged, but my clients too, like, what you believe is very important when going on this journey. If you believe it's going to work, it will. If you believe it's not, it's not. So that's also something that I will say too. But I think you're going to say, what herbs do I most commonly use? Was that the question?
Yeah, so you said that to manage your anxiety that you consumed or used herbs to heal yourself naturally. What herbs did you use? I'm not saying list them, but like what herb really helped you like manage that? And do you consume it in a tea form? Do you consume it through healthy diet? And or how do you approach it in a way?
Yeah, so first herb that I ever used when it came to trying to manage my stress and anxiety was ashwagandha. And I feel like ashwagandha is probably one of the most popular ones out there. But I was not consuming it properly because I didn't realize the difference between adaptogens and nerve vines and how often I needed to consume it, right? So the thing with adaptogens, so ashwagandha, tulsi, rhodiola, those are all adaptogens. And with anything in life, in order to see results, you have to be consistent. But with adaptogens, for sure, you have to be consistent in order to see the results with those. Every single day, you need to be taking. That one doesn't make sense. You have to be consistent with taking it. And I was taking it in a tincture form. And when I'm busy and on the go, I prefer tincture because I don't have to stop and make the tea. But now what works best for my body is tulsi and rhodiola. And I put a little bit of lemon balm in that too. And this is a blend that I'll consume every single day. But in addition to the herbs, because I tell this to my clients as well, herbs are not the magical pill that's going to fix everything in your life. It also takes other lifestyle changes to help combat whatever you're dealing with. And of course, this is going to look different for everybody. But if you're still living that same high stress lifestyle and you add in herbs, nothing really is going to change, you know? So for me, I have a very extensive morning routine. I get up, I move my body in some sort of way, whether it's yoga, whether it's walking, whether it's Pilates, a workout class, I have to move my body. After that, I journal, I take my dog for a walk, I do my skincare, I eat my breakfast, and then I get my day started because I pour into me first. And I can't pour into anything else if I haven't filled my cup up first. So I focus on me and then I can do everything else after that. And that's how I really kind of help keep my anxiety at bay. And then throughout the day, especially being an entrepreneur, so many things arise. It feels like the to-do list is never ending. And when I feel like my heartbeat is a little fast, I'm thinking about 3 weeks from now and I'm not in the present moment, I'll take a break, I'll go for a walk, I'll journal, I'll watch something, I'll listen to something. And each season, my self-care routine looks different. Like in the winter, how I cater to myself is completely different than how I can cater to myself in the spring. But it's something, like it's a journey. It's not a destination. It's never going to look the same. So I just have to listen to those cues in my body and give myself what I need when I need it.
Yes, yes, yes. Thank you. You said so many important things in your message. As you said, you know, most people, right? Not all people, but some people, they think that, okay, let me begin my herbalism journey. Let me begin my holistic journey. And I've been guilty of that of myself, right? You do one part and then the other aspect is missing your physical engagements, physical exercise, your diet, right? So I think that a lot of times that what we fail to understand is that 70% of what really helps skin issues or health issues is your diet, right? The other remainder percentage is the herbs that you're taking, right? The herbs that you're consuming. And I love that you spoke about if all those components are not put together, it only does half the work, right? So meaning you want to get half the results that you're looking for. And I love that you're very just mindful about incorporating all parts, right? And I love that you said that your skincare routines change based on the season. Because during the winter time, our skin requires more care because we're dealing with the cold weather. We're also dealing with the mental state of having to be home because it's so cold outside and the, you know, lack of sunshine and activities out. And then the summertime, you know, you're spending time doing your skincare, but it's not as, you know, time consuming as it would be during the winter time. But I love that, you know, you spoke about what your routines are and that is very important to just emphasize incorporating a healthy lifestyle, diet, and herbs as well. So how do you integrate traditional herbal remedies with modern medicine in your approach to wellness?
Yes. So what I will do is I'll get blood work done to see where my levels are. And depending on where my levels are, I know, like, okay, I need to use more of this herb right now. I need to pull back from using this one. But also speaking about skin too, I know depending on where my skin is breaking out, okay, I might need to detox. It might be hormonal. I need to wash my pillowcases a little bit more, but I can look at my skin and know, okay, this is what's going on in my body right now. But mostly, I guess with modern medicine, it's really just getting the blood work done to see where my levels are at.
Perfect, perfect. So as far as like detoxing the body, right, and the skin. So there's this certain notion that now, they emphasize that doing a high amount of detoxing, right? So there's a period of time how much you should be detoxing, right? Because our body is constantly consuming things sometimes that are not good for us. So for those that are looking to detox their skin and their body, how often do you recommend that they do that? And what type of herbs should they avoid using when doing that?
Okay, so my disclaimer, this information is not intended to treat, prevent, or cure any disease. It's for educational purposes only. But when it comes to detoxing, I really like to do it on an individualized approach because everybody's diet is different. What they consume, like TV, music, the people they are around, sometimes that is what we need to detox from. It might not always be the food because you could have a very healthy diet, but it's everything else that's causing things to be not in balance, right? But the liver is your filtration system in your body. Everything has to go through the liver, right? And if you constantly are putting toxins in your body and overworking your liver, it's not going to be able to detox your body properly. So one detoxifying herb that I would recommend is dandelion root, but it's not an herb that you want to use for an extended period of time. So after 30 days, give the dandelion root a break because you don't want to overstimulate the liver because that's going to cause even more problems, right? The other herbs that I'm thinking of, I don't really want to mention them just because they're very powerful, they're very potent, and you want to have an herbal protocol when working with these herbs because just like with modern medicine, just because it's an herb doesn't mean it's not going to have any side effects. If you're not using it properly, if you're using it too much, you can still cause damage to your body. So it's important when working with some of these herbs that you are working with an herbalist so you know how to use it properly.
So for me, I drink herbal tea every morning, right? Especially with currently still breastfeeding my son. So one herbal tea that I have realized is that should not be consumed all the time, especially for mothers that are breastfeeding, is hibiscus tea, right? So for me, every time I drink it, I notice that it cleanses my system instantly. But then I have this state of mind like, okay, should I be really drinking this if it's like constantly cleaning me out? And then the herb is so strong, right? Could it affect, the breastfeeding? Does it pass on to the child? But after really just doing in-depth research and learning about herbs and everything, it's just as you said, it's about just limiting how often you drink it, the period of time that you're drinking it, because each herb has a specific healing properties that is doing. And on top of it, you, as anything that you do in life, you can't just abuse herbs, or you can't just overdo things and then it just does the opposite for your body. So I love that you really emphasize on the importance of that, because as humans, when we love something, we just overdo it, and there just has to be a limit to everything that we do. So what are some key herbs you frequently recommend to your clients, and what would be the benefits of them?
Yeah, so I have mostly women that come to me for menstrual problems, either severe cramping, clotting, or bloating. So the three herbs that I'm always recommending is plant bark, nettle, raspberry leaf. I'm trying to see what else is something I'm always pulling for. Wild yam. Wild yam is another herb that I use pretty frequently for clients. But as far as plant bark, it does exactly what it says. You have terrible cramps, get you some cramp bark. It does not taste the greatest, but it does what needs to be done. And like I said before, herbs are not the magical fix to everything. the diet plays a huge role in it too. So I do give some like suggestions for that as well. But cramp bark is going to help with the cramping. Nettle, it's such a mineral-rich herb. So if you're anemic, nettle is that. And a lot of the time when we're on our cycles, like we're losing blood, so we're losing iron. And
Yes.
if you're already anemic, it's going to make your symptoms so much worse. But nettle is going to make sure that you're getting those minerals that you need. As far as raspberry leaf, I know that is another very, very popular herb, but it's going to tone and strengthen the uterus. So you're also not experiencing painful symptoms either. And then wild yam, it's going to help with the cramping as well, but it's also going to help with balancing out your hormones too. Because a lot of times we have these hormone fluctuations, and our hormones do fluctuate throughout our cycles because we have different phases of the cycle. But when you have those extreme fluctuations, you want to help balance those out. So I do suggest wild yam for that. And then what was the second part of the question that you asked?
I forgot, but the second part, what are their benefits? But you stated them as you're talking about them, so yes.
So yeah.
But so
Those
first,
two, like,
so
oh, sorry.
no, you're good. You're good.
Yeah, that's pretty much what most of my clients come to me for would be either severe cramping, clotting, or bloating, or PCOS and fibroids.
Oh yes. I was actually my next question was about to be about fibroids, so I'm happy that we spoke about that. So fibroids affects a lot of women, right? And it affects about 80% of African American women. I myself was diagnosed with fibroids 2020. And it's definitely something hard to live with, especially if you're trying to find a solution for it. And you're constantly being told by traditional doctors the only way to cure your fibroids is to remove it, which causes more complications, especially when you're trying to have children. So it just leaves you feeling like you have no choice at the end of the day. And for me, embarking holistic lifestyle and journey and combining those really will help me manage it. And really was helping me even continue to kill some of them and diminish some of them. So for me, what I have used to help with that is herbal, right? Literally raw herbs. I brew the tea and I consume it on a daily basis. The taste is definitely strong, but the benefits of it is worth it. So, what herbs would you recommend for women suffering from fibroids, and what other lifestyle practices would you recommend them incorporating to manage their fibroids?
One herb that I love to recommend for fibroids is gangali. It's a West African herb. It's a root, but it's out of all the disgusting tasting herbs out there, it's not the most disgusting, okay? But it's a powerful womb cleanser. So it's really just going to cleanse out the uterus. Like whatever is in there, it's gonna help cleanse it. But I also would recommend, of course, movement. Of course, having a more plant-based diet, as much of a plant-based diet as you can have, depending on where you live, because it's harder to eat healthier depending on where you live in the world. Also, movement, prioritizing movement, making sure that the lifestyle that you're living
Yes,
is
I
not
agree.
high stress. Did it hang up?
Fibroids, I know we got a little bit cut off earlier, but you were talking about how to treat fibroids and practices to approach like a healthy lifestyle and diet.
I can't remember where I left out off. I know I talked about gangali. I talked about a diet, prioritizing movement, living a low stress lifestyle, acupuncture. I can't remember if I mentioned acupuncture, but definitely acupuncture. Yeah. I
Yeah,
think I mentioned everything before we cut off, but
you did, you did.
yeah.
So about acupuncture, so a lot of people, when we think about acupuncture, right, we think it's this needle that you just stick it into their body and it's uncomfortable, it's not a good experience. But for me, when I first tried acupuncture, I really did not like it because I'm a person that didn't used to like being still, right? Especially suffering from fibroids and hyperthyroidism. anxiety comes with that. That's one of the symptoms. Mm-hmm. So just being still was probably one of the hardest things for me to do because of the nerve system and everything that was happening to me. So I love that you spoke about how acupuncture has a lot of health benefits when it comes to just overall managing anxiety, fibroids, and so on. And so how can you speak a little bit about that and how, why it's beneficial for, you know, fibroids and or anything pertaining to issues that you're having with the body?
Yeah, because I don't do acupuncture, I can't really speak to all the benefits and how exactly it works, but I know because of how they're able to target certain things with the needle that they use, that it does help with it. That's my extent to the knowledge as far as like acupuncture work. But as somebody who has experienced it, works wonders. Definitely try it. The first time, like you said, it might be uncomfortable, especially if you're not used to sitting still. Because as you've seen, I'm moving, I'm changing my leg positions. Like I always feel like I need to be moving. So it is a little bit difficult to just kind of lay there. But another thing that I don't think I recommend it is going to get your body stretched. Like having somebody stretch your body, because when you have just stagnant energy in your body and you're not able to like get it moving, that can also contribute to some of the things that we deal with as well. So getting your body stretched, I know I mentioned movement, but specifically yoga, that'll help with that as well.
Perfect. And I do agree with you. I know with acupuncture, the individuals that are experts in that would know what it does for each body part. I do agree with you on that. And what I also noticed too, as you said, that once the needle enters your body, you can't move, right? Because it hurts when you move. It's like a discomfort experience that you use. And a lot about healing is to do with stillness, right? Being still, being present, and also just allowing your body to heal in that process, right? And because we live in a fast-paced world, we're always moving. And we don't really take the time to like attend to our body, to our mind, and to really hear what our body's telling us. And I love that you spoke about that as being one of the tools to just manage fibroids, or just manage mental health, manage all forms of health. So what advice would you give to our listeners?
One more thing I wanted to add, though, trauma, when we experience trauma, whether it's trauma that's been passed down from us or something that we directly experience, if we don't deal with it, it gets stored in our body in different places. So whether you learn to deal with that trauma through therapy, through moving your body, through yoga, through journaling, but trauma can manifest itself as illnesses or whatever the case may be for each individual. So learning how to heal some of the trauma that you've experienced, whether it's your own or it's something that was passed down to you, is important to work with.
Yes. But that's also one of the lifestyles to manage, right? As you were saying, just as you said, because sometimes it can be not even our traumas that we just carry on because it's something that was instilled into us during our childhood, right? It's something that's so present in our family, in our friendships, just our work environment, right? And we don't even know that it's just penetrating our energy and our spirit, and it just lingers on. And when we're diagnosed with a health issue or a mental issue, we're like, where did this come from? But really just led up to all of the things that was affecting us throughout our life. And I love that you emphasize the importance of really addressing your trauma, right? So that's step one. If we don't really know what's affecting me mentally, right, what's affecting me physically, then you would never really target, okay, how do I just feed back to myself? Like, how do I, you know, help my mental, my health? And once you really embark that and you figure it out, it's probably the most joyful experience in life, and it's an enlightening experience. And I love that you're here just, you know, like just educating us and just helping us embrace this form of energy and this form of lifestyle. And I'm truly inspired by your story, and I'm truly inspired by what you're doing for your community, for our community. So thank you so much for blessing us today. So for the future coming up, what is going to be coming up for your business? What's going to be coming up for you as an herbalist or just an individual? What would you like for us to know?
Yes. So you can always shop The Full Apothecary at www.rootsholisticapothecary.com. That's where you will find all of the herbal tea blends, all of the body care, and then all of the candles. And then, like I have mentioned throughout the podcast, I do consultations. So if you're interested in booking a one-on-one consultation, you will find that on the website as well. You can stay up to date with all things Roots by following me on Instagram. And it's the same name on Instagram, Roots Holistic Apothecary. Most of my content is focused on herbs and herbalism, herb education, but I don't just talk about the herbs. I also talk about other lifestyle changes that you can make in addition to incorporating this herb. I'm based in Houston, Texas, so I do a lot of pop-up shops and farmers markets out here. So I have one coming up on the 31st, which will be at Houston Botanic Gardens. And then after that, every Saturday in April and in May, I'll be at the downtown market in Houston. So yeah, I think that's all the things that are coming up. I have been teaching classes recently. Herbalism classes, the most recent one I taught was Herbs for Women's Wellness. Well, I really did go in depth on herbs for fibroids, PCOS, and endometriosis. But all the classes that I have taught previously, at the end of April, they will be on the site as courses. They'll be go at your own pace. They'll come with an herb kit. So not only will you be able to learn, but you'll have the herbs to have hands-on learning as well.
Perfect. I love that. Sharing the resources, sharing the knowledge, you know, because a lot of individuals now, right? Not everybody. They have the knowledge, but it's like they just want to keep it to themselves and just don't want to share it with the world, especially with women that are going through these health problems. And it's really inspiring that you're out here not just trying to share your story, but trying to educate us as women or individuals on how to heal our body. So how often do you teach the women wellness courses, and when will be one coming up for those that are interested in learning how to incorporate herbalism to heal their womb health?
Yes, so I've been teaching one live class a month. I don't have the date for the next upcoming class, but if you go on the website, it'll be a pop-up that'll say sign up for the email list. And if you sign up for the email list, then you'll get notified about when course registration opens, how much it'll cost, all of those things. So I would recommend going to the website and signing up for the email list, or just following on Instagram, because I post all of it on Instagram.
Perfect, perfect. So we're going to list your Instagram name and website on our posting on the podcast platform as well as YouTube. But for those that don't know, can you please let them know how they can reach you on your website and Instagram or TikTok or any social media that you currently have?
Yes. So for the business page, Roots Holistic Apothecary on everything. For the website, www.rootsholisticapothecary. TikTok, Roots Holistic Apothecary. Instagram, Roots Holistic Apothecary. I wanted to make it super simple. If you want to ever email me, it's just contact@rootsholisticapothecary.com. And if you want to see a holistic lifestyle put into play, you can follow me on my personal Instagram. It's just trueliving.p. But if you follow my business Instagram, it has my personal Instagram linked in the bio. It says creator, and then it'll have my personal Instagram link, because I'm very heavy on not just teaching it, but actually living the lifestyle. So if you want to see how I actually live it in my day to day, feel free to follow me on my personal Instagram too.
Thank you so much, Patrice. It is such a pleasure to have you. Thank you so much for blessing us with your presence today. You taught us a lot about just holistic lifestyle, herbalism. We're so blessed to have you here today. So we're very excited to have you back on our next season and to learn a little bit more about you, what's going on with your company. So thank you so much for blessing us. It is such a pleasure to have you. To our listeners, thank you so much for joining us on another podcast today. Today has been a really interesting and great topic. Please be sure to click follow and like and continue to share this episode and other episode with your family and friends. Until next time, I hope all of you have a blessed week. And a note that I'll leave is, you know, at the end of the day, we are all just trying to figure out all aspects of life, right? We're all just trying to feel grounded. And the first place to start really is to really find out, okay, am I really taking the time to listen to my body? Am I really taking the time to listen to my mental? Is there any form of trauma that can that's keeping me just, you know, stuck, right? That's keeping me feeling like I can't progress. And what could that be? And really starting from that note. So I don't mean to keep you guys still here, but thank you so much. I hope all of you have a blessed week. And thank you so much, Patrice, again. It was such a pleasure to have you with us.
Thanks for having me. Seriously, I really, really enjoyed it. Thank you.